Good evening. Well, I have to say that this is one of the most special times of this season for me, watching these little ones put on these shows. I've gone from watching my children, working with them, to now I'm watching my grandchildren, and I hope I'm around to watch my great-grandchildren. It's always a joy to see these kids. And I'm thankful and blessed that we still have that privilege in this country to have them sing these carols, and it's a good tradition I hope we keep. I hope we don't lose it. And speaking of traditions, I looked up a couple interesting traditions across the different countries. One is in Japan. It's a tradition having to do with the Christmas meal. You know what the tradition is in Japan, what they really enjoy for Christmas? They enjoy going to KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. They say that's really getting popular in Japan now during the holidays. In fact, if you want to go to KFC during Christmas time and you're in Japan, you have to make an appointment. You have to make a reservation. That's how popular it's getting. And then there's one in Greenland. In Greenland, they also have a nice treat they make for Christmas. It's a piece of whale skin wrapped in a strip of blubber. This is something they really enjoy at Christmas time. I mean, I wouldn't like it on my cookie tray, but this is something very important in Greenland. And the other one is Germany. They have a tradition in Germany, and it's on December 6th. On December 6th, the children will put a boot or a shoe outside their door. And if they're good, in the morning, it'll be filled with candy and little toys. That's if they're good. But if they aren't so good, there's a birch branch twig out on a step. And I don't know what you'd do with that. But that's the couple of interesting traditions around in other countries. When I was younger, I remember my tradition, what I thought about, you know, what I did during Christmas. It started on the day after Thanksgiving. And it was called the Izzard Parade in Elmira. Does anybody remember the Izzard Parade in Elmira? That was something big when I was younger, when I was, you know, like the 6-7-year-old. And it was like the Macy's Day Parade. It was huge. And it was really big back then. There's a lot of floats and marching bands and balloons, and we really enjoyed going there. But what the kids waited for the most, the most important thing, was at the end of this parade. That's when that float came of that chubby guy in red. He came in a sleigh, and he would go into this Izzard store, this really nice department store we had downtown Elmira, and he would sit there, and the kids would line up, and they'd tell him what they wanted for Christmas, and he'd promise them this, and he'd promise them that, and then you'd go to, then you'd wait about a month, and you'd get up Christmas morning, and a lot of times you realize you couldn't trust this guy. Because a lot of times you wouldn't get what you asked for. But there was a promise given, that probably the most important promise that we've ever had. It was given and it was kept. It was a promise that was given that came true 2,000 years ago. And it was even spoken of 700 years before it happened. And the Jews, like we heard this morning, the Jewish people were waiting for a king. They were waiting for a Messiah, a Savior. And they waited a long time, as Stephen was saying this morning. And they wondered, who's he going to be? You know, when is he coming? And God spoke to Isaiah, and we see that in Isaiah 9:6. God answered them, and he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is what Isaiah predicted would happen. And 700 years after he said this, the promise came true. The promise was fulfilled. And we see in our Gospels, all through our Gospels, how this came to be. And in Luke 2:11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And you can just imagine Joseph and Mary looking over this new little baby. And just like a concerned parent, they wondered, how is this boy going to ever do all that they say he's going to do? They knew who he was. They knew what was ahead of him. And they probably were scared and for him and worried. Will he ever live up to what is being spoken about him? You know, but now, 2,000 years later, you know, those of us who know the Lord and know Jesus, we realize that he has come through. He has been all that he said, Isaiah said he was going to do. You know, he has become that wonderful counselor. He has become that wonderful counselor to us. You know, that one that was equal with God in the beginning. He chose to come to earth and to take part in our everyday lives. Now, there's so many situations in life where you don't know where to turn. You know, you got this problem, you got that problem, financial, health, and you just need a guide. You need somebody to tell you what to do. And we have Jesus. Jesus is there. He will guide us. He will direct us to the right path for us in every situation. You know, that's if we go to him. If we choose to go to him, he'll direct us. And Proverbs 3:6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, he is that wonderful counselor. He fulfilled that role. And he also is the mighty God. Isaiah said this babe would be a mighty God. And he is that mighty God. He says, Jesus said, he declared in Matthew 28:18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is the authority over all things. He's authority over anything that could come into our life, including the enemy. He has authority over them. And this child, he grew to possess the strength and the might of the entire universe was in this child when he was laying in that manger. And the good thing we know is that this power that this child had is able to be transformed into our lives also, if we choose. He can transform that power into our lives as well in many ways. In Philippians 4:13 declares, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, whatever we need to accomplish what Christ asks of us, he gives us that power to do it. We don't have to worry about it. He gives us that strength. You know, he is that mighty God, and he even has the power to bring us into that glorious future, that eternal home that awaits us. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. And this little one also became an everlasting father. He became an everlasting father. See, God created the very role of fatherhood. God created that role, and he chooses to make that title his favorite title, father. You know, and us fathers on earth, you know, it's hard fulfilling that role sometimes. You know, we don't always make the right decisions. You know, we mess up, we make mistakes. But God, he's the perfect example of what a father means. He's the perfect one. No, he protects. What's a father do? He protects us. He protects his children. He feeds his children. He nurtures his children, and he corrects his children. You know, a father has the best in mind for every one of his children. You know, he even encourages them, even in their failures. He helps them up. You know, and his father's greatest desire is to be loved by his children. That's the father's greatest desire. And God fulfills every one of them aspects and more. God is the perfect father. And if we choose to love him, he promises to be with us forever, that everlasting father. He tells us in Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, that babe has become, he is that everlasting father. And the last title this tiny little boy fulfilled, that tiny little boy was in that stable, he is the Prince of Peace. He's become that Prince of Peace to us. And this might be the greatest gift of all. You know, I can remember when I was first saved that I felt that peace. I felt something flood through my body and it gave me a lot of joy. It's something that was a presence that I'll never forget, and it's a presence that is always with me, and it carries me through any struggle that I have, that perfect peace. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give it I unto you. Let not your heart troubled, neither let it be afraid. And Jesus is more than willing and able to give all of us, plant in all of us, that peace I'm talking about. And the way we receive that peace, one of the ways is seen in Isaiah 26, verse 23. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And we need to keep trusting God. We need to keep our hearts and our minds focused on him this season. And in conclusion, we have to realize that the best gift of all isn't the one wrapped in the prettiest paper or with the biggest bows. The best gift we have this season was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was laying in a manger and was born of a virgin. And that gift was given to us that holy night in Bethlehem. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And we have to remember, this is the real reason for the season. A lot of traditions are out there, and a lot of them are fun. But the real reason we got to keep our mind on is that one who came, Jesus. Amen? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift that we celebrate this season. We pray that it will always be on our minds and our hearts, that the babe in swaddling clothes will be the one that we worship. His titles, Lord, we pray that we receive this gift to all of our hearts and all of our lives. Help us to continue to worship you throughout the whole year, not just Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.